Amen. Let's look at the first three verses of chapter 21 of Numbers. The Bible says, "And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah," if I pronounce these words right. You may be seated. May the good Lord add his blessings to the reading of the scripture. How many's going to pray for us? These are your prayers. Amen. Please pray. And the more you pray, the easier to be. I give you the thought that the Lord give us, and I didn't really get the scripture, amen, till we were in, well, actually, I didn't get the scripture till we were in the parking lot this evening. But here in these three verses, amen, we, the little heading over chapter 21 in my Bible says, third war, and it said victory over the Canaanites. But as I was asking the Lord to show us what to preach, today, and the Lord, I believe the Lord guided us into these verses of Scripture. Even I'm talking about, He gave us the thought before He gave us the Scripture. Amen. And then I believe the Lord gave us the Scripture. But here's the thought before I get into the message. In verse number 2, I want you to look what it said. "And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." Now I'm going to give you a thought out of verse number 2. I want you to notice the word "then." It was like they were saying, "Lord, I'm going to bargain with you." Now let's read that again. It says, "And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt deliver this people into my hand, then..." I wonder if the Lord hadn't delivered them. Because that word "then" implies, "Lord, I'll make a bargain." How many agree with that statement? "Lord, I'll make a bargain. I'll make a deal with you, Lord." Am I on course? Does that sound about right? "Then I will utterly destroy their cities." But what if he didn't? To me, that word "then" implies, amen, a bargain. Implies, amen, a deal. Just by introduction, amen, I want to just preach on this subject tonight. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. You said, "I preach." How many of you ever seen the TV program, "Let's Make a Deal"? If you'll remember, and I guess the thought, amen, came to my mind of that popular TV. How many remember Monty Hall? Amen. They'd dress up in different characters and different things. And man, they'd go on that show. Oh, brother, we got Brother Adam over here, and you know what? He's a snigger, and he's looking up at me. Oh, there's one of them I don't know nothing about. Amen. You ain't never heard about "Let's Make a Deal"? Brother, I think it's got on the Game Show Network now. I think, what is the colored feller? Brady feller. What is it? Wayne Brady. He does it now. You ain't seen that one, brother? "Let's Make a Deal." Well, how many's ever seen? Well, I better not go there. Amen. You get talking about these TV programs. But anyway, I mean, man, I always like to watch it. Has anybody in here got a spoon in their pocket? Anybody in here got a spoon in their pocket, bud? Do, I'll give you $100. I'm just kidding. Look at that. She raised the spoon up. No, I didn't mean a baby spoon. but anyway, Jessica, don't you remember seeing some of that? But anyway, I mean, man, he'd go through there and he'd say, hey, if you've got, man, he just named something just off the wall. I mean, something that nobody would probably have. I mean, real odd, a clothespin or anything. Man, he'd give $50 if you got a clothespin. He'll give $100 if you got an egg or something like that. And of course, you know, after a while, they'd go to that program and they'd try to probably stuff everything they could find. How many say amen to that? If you've seen it and you watched it. But, and of course, that, you know, let's make a deal there with Monty Hall. But anyway, we're going to use that basic concept for that game show tonight. Amen. To try to deliver a sermon to you. Now, what do you mean? I mean to set the stage for what God's put on our heart. And to illustrate, I believe, an important point. I want you just to imagine, amen, just for a minute, that I have within my power to offer you some great deals. I have within my power to offer you tonight. I mean, I'm talking about deals. You know, how much is the lottery tonight? Is anybody 400 and 500? Five? Boy, I can tell I'm a day or two late. $500 million. I walked in Candler's store, amen, yesterday evening. And man, I stood in there with a line. I'm talking about, I counted, there's six people in front of me. I'm talking about a convenience store, standing there, waiting. And you know what the majority, well, I'm going to say every one of them was, but man, there's a buying them. Boy, I didn't get a big amen right there, but that's all right. Amen. And you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, and I'd already opened my drink and already took a drink out of it because one's behind me said, I believe I'll go come back later. I said, I've done took a drink. I have to stay here. Amen. I have to wait and pay for my drink. Amen. So what are you getting at? But anyway, I'm going to use that basic, amen, about let's make a deal. First of all, I want us to imagine that I have the power to give you some good deals. And I'm going to, now you got to bear with me tonight. Amen. First of all, let's make a deal. I'm talking about the game. And my first offer, I'm talking about the game show. My first offer tonight, I'm going to, Adam Jolly, I'm going to pick on you. Amen. I'm going to give you tonight, and I want you to tell me, now this is, I got some play money tonight. Okay. I'm going to give you, amen. What are you driving tonight? What is it? 2007 Toyota Camry. I'm going to give you tonight, and you, now I want you to be honest with me. I want to give you tonight $100,000 for your Toyota Camry. Do you want $100,000? I'm talking real life. Would you take $100,000 if I offered it to you tonight? $100,000. Is that a deal? That's a deal. Give me the keys. No, I'm telling you. Amen. I mean, we're. I want you to get the concept of what I'm doing tonight.
Sure.
Now, let's see. Norma, what you driving tonight? Bobo? Honda Odyssey van. You know what model it is? 99 model. Would you take $100,000 for your van tonight? Anybody else want to offer your vehicle for $100,000? Raise your hand. Travis, how about it, buddy? What you driving tonight? Doc, what model? Would you take $100,000? All right, $100,000. You know, that seems, you know, that seems, if that was real money, your heart would be pounding out of your chest, wouldn't it? Mine would. That, if that was real money and that was a real concept, I mean, man, I mean, you think about that. Who in here wouldn't take $100,000? I'm going to step out on a limb tonight, okay? And I ain't got, well, I don't believe there's nobody, amen. I don't believe there's nobody, amen, that would turn down that offer that's in here. Is anybody would turn down that offer for the vehicle you drove to church in tonight? You'd turn it down, Jerry? Don't want to see me. Let me just put it this way. You won't be cheating me. You'll be one gaining, okay? How many's got the concept there? I would doubt anybody. But see, before you spend the money, this way I always done on Let's Make a Deal. Before you go spend that money and you put that money in the bank, I got another deal for you, Adam Dollar. In other words, on Let's Make a Deal, you get to pick a curtain. Three of them was up there, man. You got any choice. You can either take $100,000 of your car, or you can give me that $100,000 back and you can pick a curtain. Now, behind that curtain, it could be $200,000 in cash. It could be two cars worth over $100,000. Then again, it might could be a chicken in a chicken coop. It could have been an old Jersey cow. Somebody say amen? You ain't seen it though, have you? I know it's a little bit humorous, but that's okay. God, I believe there's humor. Can I say amen to that? I mean, I'm trying to give you something to think about tonight. I mean, but my second offer, amen, is this. '07 Toyota Camry, $100,000. Here's my second offer. Would you take $1 million and give me that $100,000 back?
I mean, I ain't picking a
curtain. No. But before you do that, there's some stipulations. Here's the stipulations. First of all, before you give me that $100,000 back, first of all, you got to wait 1 week. He says Wednesday night, but you got to wait 1 week. You got to leave your car parked where it's at tonight for 1 week. That's what I wanted to hear. You just keep on. That's good. And then you have to come back here next Wednesday to receive that $1 million. I'm willing to give you $1 million for that car, but it's got to stay parked exactly where it's at for 1 week. You have to be back here next Wednesday to receive that $1 million. And that goes for everybody else. Rita? Walk on. How about it, Brother Norman? Would you do that deal? How about it, Travis? Would you do that deal? $1 million. All you got to do is leave it here 1 week, and it's got to stay right where it's sitting. And then you can come back next Wednesday, and I'll take your $100,000, and you'll leave with $1 million. But you don't want $1 million? That's what I wanted to hear. Because you heard what he said? I'm sure I'd take that. But are you willing to leave it parked out there for 1 week? All right, how many's got that? Everybody got that concept? What did you say, Ruth?
I said, we'll take a mile home if I remember us next week.
Somebody say amen to that? Amen. Now, I don't believe there would anybody turn down that second offer. I know if that offer was offered to me, I can leave that. I'll find a way. Can I get an amen right there? I'll find any way I can. I mean, I would be willing to exchange that $100,000 for that $1 million. Not even the conditions would deter me. And most of everybody in here, those conditions wouldn't deter you. I'm talking about, hey, the first question, how am I going to get home? Well, Rich already is going to give you a way home if you'll remember him next Wednesday. All God's people say it. Well, how am I going to get along all week without a car, without an extra vehicle? How many in here you still wouldn't let that deter you? What did you say? Oh, he's got a yard full. Or borrow one from Keith. I'm not talking about getting along all week without a car. Get back here next Wednesday, no matter what. And listen, for the sake of the illustration, let's assume that everybody accepts that offer. I don't believe nobody would have turned that down. Now let's analyze it. The first offer sounded exciting, but it failed in comparison to the second offer. Because if I really had 100, if I really made you that offer, you'd tough it. Now, but here's the thing I'm getting at. But see, then the offer wasn't as exciting compared to that second. I mean, $1 million is worth a lot of. I mean, $1 million is $1 million. I mean, even if you had to wake away, even if it did inconvenience you, even if you had to start right here and try to walk home, I would try to, if I had to try to walk home. How many's with me? But by accepting, amen, the second offer, you've turned down that first offer, and that first offer was an offer of immediate gain. For a much larger offer for a future gain. People get in trouble when they gamble. See, I don't believe that anybody turned that down, but just wait a minute. I'm talking about an offering requiring no effort. That first offer was an offer requiring no effort, that no sacrifice for a much larger offer requiring much effort and much sacrifice. Number two, let's make that deal in real life. What are you saying? Satan offers you a deal. He offers everybody in here a deal. What is that deal? Very simple thing. And listen, he will give you immediate pleasures and rewards. And by the way, he does that. Amen. Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. You know what that's saying? That's saying that there are immediate pleasure in sin. There's immediate, amen, rewards. Amen. When I say rewards, amen, I'm talking about earthly things. Listen, in regards to the lust and of the flesh, immorality, amen. And by the way, it's a constant warfare, isn't it? Amen. It's a constant battle. Amen. The spirit warring against the flesh. Huh? Anybody have a problem with your flesh? But I'm talking about the devil. He'll offer you that immediate pleasure in regards to the lust of the flesh, that immorality. In regards to the lust of the eyes, that materialism. I mean, listen, we can't never hardly be content. Can I get an amen? You know why you trade cars, amen? You know why you get different cars? And sometimes you have to, but there's sometimes, amen, it's because you ain't content with what you got. Sometimes we don't go buy new clothes because we have to buy new clothes. We go buy new clothes because we're tired of the old clothes. I mean, you got it. I'm talking about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Amen. In regard to the pride of life, that self-glorification. I mean, sometimes it's all about I. It's all about you. I mean, if it don't suit you, I mean, hey, that self-glorification. See, he'll give you immediate pleasures and he'll give you immediate rewards, and he does. But listen, he requires virtually no effort of discipline on your part. In other words, if it feels good, do it. Don't the devil do that? He offers you that, and there ain't no effort. I mean, if it feels good, you do it. Amen. And most do. If it looks good, take it. And most do. If it sounds good, go for it. And most do. But here's the sad part about that. I want you to think about this. If it feels good, do it. And I said most do. There's a lot of Christian people will do it. Hey, that's the sad part about it. Hey, if it looks good, take it. Most Christian people would take it. Oh, by the way, you ever see a deal on television? You ever see something or an ad in a paper? Hey, man, I'll be looking through Craigslist and I'm thinking, glory to God, there's a deal. And by the way, normally if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. How many ever found that to be true? I'm talking about you thought it was a good deal, but man, when you studied it out or you followed through on it, it wasn't such a good deal. I mean, see, but see, the devil offers you deals like that. It requires no effort, and you take it if it looks good. If it sounds good, you go for it. Amen. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says this, and it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is a pleasure of sin. Then God, the devil offers you a deal, then God offers you a deal. What do you mean, preacher? He'll give you the future pleasures of rewards. An eternity of beauty, an eternity of bounty, eternity of bliss. He promises you heaven. I'm talking about far exceeding the pleasures and rewards. I'm talking about, listen, it can't be compared to. What this world offers us compared to what God offers us, if there's nothing amount of money in this world. It's simple tonight. Listen, but he requires much effort and sacrifice on your part. See, the devil, it don't require no effort. But God still requires an effort. I mean, such as faithful servant. Being a faithful service to the Lord. I mean, having to live in a surrendered life. How many believe you've got to live a surrendered life to get to heaven?
Amen.
A life of service to get there. In other words, you've got to live for Him. Amen. I'm talking about such as resisting temptation. How many believe you've got to live a holy life? See, the Lord's offer, amen and deal, amen. By the way, God don't offer deals. But I will say this, I'm just using that in phrasing tonight. Hey, compared to the devil and God, hey man, listen, there's no comparison there. But so many people are living so loose. So many people are living by, and they're grabbing those deals. I mean, man, you'd watch that, you'd watch that, let's make a deal. Hey man, there'd be times I'd be watching it, Kevin, and I'd think, man, take that money. Amen. How many have watched it? Take that money. And sometimes I get so wrapped up thinking, man, I'm going to get something greater. Man, they'll give them a choice of a door or a curtain. And man, they just know behind that curtain, instead of $5,000 or instead of $2,000, I'm talking about cash money. They're just thinking, man, they could be a car sitting behind. That could be a trip to Hawaii behind that curtain. And they get so wrapped up. And they've got the money in their hand. And off the spur of the moment, they'll say, you want door number two or do you want that $2,000? Man, and the audience is cheering them on. Something's right and something's wrong. That's just like the little red man that pops up. You've heard me tell about the little red man. I remember the old cartoons. Now, I'm not talking about Tiny Toons. I'm talking about Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. I'm talking about Sylvester and Tweety. I'm talking about Foghorn Leghorn. Yosemite Sam. Let me say amen to that. You remember those? Tom and Jerry. And none of them was babies. On this modern dinner. That was cartoon. But I don't remember which one it was on. But they'd always have temptation. A little red man jump up here. Remember Scott Campbell preaching that about the red man? And then that's where that comes in. So in that game show of life, And they're back there and they're cheering them on. Take the cart. Then they're over here, keep the money. See, one of them's the devil and one of them's the good. One's the good and one's evil. Can I get an amen there? Then off a spur of the moment, they'll say, I'll take cart number two. They say, well, give me the $2,000. So he gets the $2,000 back and they open that curtain. I've watched it, man, they've made some good decisions. Then I've watched it and there'd be an old cow standing back there. Or a goat or something like that. Somebody say amen. And it's all gone. And you said, preacher, what's that got to do with all of this? Listen, Satan offers you a deal. God offers you a deal. A Satan's offer don't require nothing. It all appeals to the flesh. God offers you a deal and there's some sacrifice. You got to live surrendered. You got to live holy. You got to live pure. Amen. Listen, such as enduring persecution. Can I get an amen right there? Why do so many accept Satan's offer over God's offer? I'm reminded of a scripture, and God just reminded me of it. And I believe it's in Matthew 7, around verse number 13. It says, hit again at the straight gate. Amen? I hope I've got that scripture right. Hit again at the straight gate. It goes on to say, for straight is the gate, and there is the way that leadeth unto life. And few. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. There you go. Somebody find it, and I'll read it. Hallelujah. I think it's Matthew 7, 13, ain't it? Yeah, let me see that, and I'll read that loud. Thank you for... Well, wait a minute. Amen. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and there is the way that, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know what that's a saying? That's a saying. That's really a saying this tonight. Amen. Hey, if there was a big door up here, just say that door was out there. Hey, and then beside it, let's say there was another door, and it was about half that size. But the same width, but just half that size. Which door you're going to go in? And it went to the same room. You're going to go in that door. Now, Tory Grace may go in this door. You know why? Because, hey, that would be the, really, it'd be the easier, it'd be the door that's her size. How many's with me? But you know what the Bible said? He said, straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. He said, wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Is that right? Amen. Broad is the way. You know why it's so broad? It's because it's the devil's deal. It requires no effort. See, it don't require no effort for me to walk through that big door. But it would require a little bit of effort for me to go, you know why? I'd have to get down on my knees and crawl through that door. Did you know what God's saying? He said, there's going to be more people in hell than they are heaven. And let me tell you something. Why is it that so many people chooses the devil's deal?
Amen.
Knowing the end result over God's deal. And you're going to have life everlasting in the Lord. I'll tell you why so many accepts the devil's deal. For the same reason anyone would keep 100,000 and refuse that million. All God's people saying? Amen. They fail to appreciate the difference in the value. Give me your $100,000 back. $100,000. That is the right commas in the right place. See, I could have done that, but I just wrote it. There's a lot of difference there, but some people fail to realize the value. Now, there's more value in here. But they fail to appreciate the value in weighing out what's better. See, there's consequences for taking the 100. But there's greater consequences in taking, really there ain't no consequence taking the 100. But there's consequences to take the 1,000,000. Why is the people accept knowing the end result's going to be hell? I'll tell you why. They ain't learned, amen, the value of it. That's the reason the church ain't, hey, that's the reason, Lord, you're going to have to pray for me. That's the reason, amen, that you can't get people back on Sunday night. That's the reason you can't get people back on Wednesday night. That's the reason you can't get people to sell out to the Lord, is because they fail to value, amen, and appreciate the value. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. I'd rather have the 100,000. Now, I know we all accepted that, and I would have too if it was real life. But I'd rather, Lord, how is with me tonight? Now, let me back up. I'm about to get messed up in my thinking, but let me just say this. What are you getting at? I'm saying this by the help of the Lord. They fail to appreciate the difference in the value. 1,000,000 sounds good. The world sounds good. Amen. But you know what? If you stay with the world and you stay with what's easy, you could end up like the prodigal down at the hog pen. Amen. Without, amen, amen. You wasted your living with, or your money, amen, with riotous living. Amen. Hey, they don't weigh the value right. Amen. The failure to appreciate the difference is the same way in life. I mean, the promises of Satan, hey, it only lasts for a little time. In other words, I'll get, hey, that million, hey, he can offer you $1,000,000. Sure, it would be great. How many could spend $1,000,000? Amen. Hey, man, can spend, you're laughing. I'd like to ask you your thoughts right there. How many can spend I know what he's thinking. Yeah, Jessica could. Is that what you thought? No. Yeah, he could too. He could too. How many? What are you saying tonight, preacher? Let me tell you something. Listen, the promises of Satan last for just a little time. But $1,000,000, there's more stipulations. The promises of God last forever. Can I get an amen? But people literally sell their souls to accept the Satan's deal and Satan's offer. They take chances they know they shouldn't take. They take challenges and they take it and they know they never should have taken. Let me tell you something, friend. Money ain't everything when it comes to life. Had a lady call me on the phone the other day and nobody in this church, but she called me on the phone and was trying to ask me certain things about a job and leaving her husband. No, I'm talking about leaving her husband, but that she's going to be gone for a while. Because she was taking a, but anyway, that's a long story made short. Amen. She started texting me, preacher, I'd like to get your opinion on that. And I said, first of all, I can't tell you. First of all, you better make sure you're right with God.
Amen.
You better make sure, because let me tell you something. Hey, that makes all the difference. So I told her what I thought. I said, that little boy of yours needs you while he's young. Being gone 6, 7, 8 months, amen, at a time from your children ain't good. Now, if you don't want my opinion, don't call me and ask me. Amen. And I try to give you my opinion, amen, through godly counsel. And I said, listen, I don't know how you and your husband. Well, we got an agreement and all this kind of stuff and all this. And we can handle it. I said, yeah, but I said, but for gone for 6 and 7 months, I said, the devil will jump in there. You say, oh, no, preacher, that won't do that. Let me tell you something. The enemy's after your home. You know if he can get in the home, he can get in. Your marriage is the home. Your children is the home. And if he can get in there, you know where it gets? It gets in the church. How many people through the years, amen, that it's got in the home? I've counseled people, amen, that it would get in the home before you know it, hey, and it affected church. Why? Because it affected the home. Moses understood the difference and made the right choice. Amen. In Hebrews, I read it to you a few minutes ago, 11:24 and 25. He said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Can you think of that? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in riches. Wait a minute. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He made the right choice. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
What deal have you made? What deal are you going to make? What choice are you going to make? Are you accepting or going to accept? Hey, I'm telling you what. Are you going to accept the 100,000 or the million? Are you going to accept door number one or door number three? It's all of a matter of God's deal or Satan's deal. I'm glad, thank God, one day I chose the right door. Hallelujah. I chose the right curtain. He said, I am the door. I preached a little bit on the door and different things. I believe it was Monday night in the service. Amen. But what deal are you going to make? Amen. Who would have glad? I'll just say this. You're going to choose the one that offers the least resistance? The reason so many people's not here tonight is because they've chose the wrong deal. There's people, amen, all over McDowell County tonight that's not in God's house. I'm thankful I have a Wednesday night service. I'm thankful that we have a place that we can come and worship the Lord and faithful. I hope Rex Real didn't come just to see Margaret and Norman.
Amen.
I'm glad to see Margaret and Norman here. Amen. And I'm sure Rex Real's glad of that. But thank the Lord, I'm glad he didn't come just to see if they were here or not. Matter of fact, if he was coming to see if they were going to be here, he'd probably sit a little bit further back. Amen. Amen. Where are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you, I'm thankful. I mean, who would have gladly accepted the second deal of $1 million, no matter how hard it would take to get home and come back again? They wouldn't even anything keep them from, amen, being here. Work wouldn't have kept them from being here to accept that $1 million next Wednesday night. You coming back next Wednesday to get your million? All you others that's got 100,000, you coming back next Wednesday to get you a million?
Amen.
Wouldn't let anything keep them from being here. Would you? If I offered you $1 million for your car, would you try to be here next Wednesday? And let it park out, Sean?
Amen.
Kathy? Praise the Lord. No matter how hard it would be. You know what you could do? You can make do. There's people that'll do that, then there's people that would do that, but yet they won't consider the promise of eternal life. Listen to me. Worth the same effort. They don't take the effort to get to here on Sunday night. They don't take the effort to get back on Wednesday night. They allow things to hinder their service to God and to their brethren. I'm talking about people that place a higher value on the million than on the gift of eternal life. Selling their soul for much less. Esau sold his birthright. Did you remember that story? For a bowl of pottage, lentils or whatever it was. Can I get an amen there? Just for, sold his birthright. And the birthright meant something to you.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll take and study that. I mean, why? Because he's hungry. I mean, see, people are selling out. Amen. For idols, money, materialism. Amen. And just plain laziness. Can I get an amen there? Anybody didn't really feel like coming to God's house tonight? Who wants to be honest? Just raise your hand. Be honest. Okay. Didn't really feel like coming. So you that really didn't feel like coming, you put forth just a little bit of effort.
Amen.
And guess what? You came on anyway. Now, first of all, did you get anything? Did the Lord bless you in any part of the service tonight? I always get a blessing when I come to the Lord's house. How many's ever laid? Not say laid out. Well, if that fits you. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'll just say it. Amen. How many's ever just laid out, or if somebody just, maybe you were sick and you just couldn't come, and then you'd get noise back? That was one of the best services we've had. Every time. Every time. Angie, would you come to the piano? We're living in one more wicked world. We're living in a world, let me tell you something, they're taking the wrong deals. You got churches, let me tell you something, that are selling out. Brother Lloyd, that's taking the wrong deals. Let me tell you something, I thank God there's health and wealth in serving the Lord if He allows it to come your way. Amen. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to prosper and be in good health. How many believe that? God wants us to be that way. And God's willing to, hey, but sometimes the reason we don't prosper is that's our fault that we don't prosper.
Amen.
And then there's people, they say, well, I come every service, I pay my tithes and I do all this. And look at this sinner, they got more than I got. Yeah, but they don't have peace.
Amen.
They don't have peace. Keith, are they people that knows the old Keith? The old Keith. I'm not talking about the new Keith. There's people who knows the new Keith. But them old, the people that know the old Keith, they've seen the new Keith. Now, there are going to be some people that sees the new Keith that's going to say, oh, are you kidding me? You know what that is? That's the world speaking. Huh? How many's with me? Sure. But you can't help what they say.
Amen.
As long as Keith Turner knows Keith Turner's right. As long as Keith Turner knows he's living right, living for the Lord. That's something to say.
Amen.
See, I've always been raised in church, and somebody look at me and say, well, you ain't never done alcohol, you ain't never done this or that. Yeah, but I still lost. And there's people still knew the old me. See, there's people, you said, preacher, but I thought you lived right. No, I didn't always live right. Lloyd Johnson didn't always live right. Kathy Real didn't always live right. So there's people that probably remember what your old life was. But thank God they can see the new. And oh, by the way, people do see you. And they relate you to this church. I was at a garage today. And I didn't have no idea. I didn't have no idea this boy went to church. He told me where he went to church. And he told me, I think he was in service with his here. And I thought, I don't ever see him. Don't go tell him. Of course, I ain't going to tell you who it is, don't they? And I'm thinking, okay. And he said, how's that, Travis? And I said, oh, Travis Guffey? He said, yeah. How's he? I said, yo, he's doing good. Went on a little bit, and I thought, how did he know Travis? But he know Travis. I didn't say nothing else. They'd put new plugs in my truck and all that stuff. Matter of fact, I went home. They'd call me to come back and get my truck, and I went back to get my truck. Got talking to this same individual, and he said, "Come out here." Something was mentioned where he goes to church. And, well, I'm just gonna tell you, he goes to Redeemed Free Will Baptist Church. And he said, I said, you know Jerry McLean? Yeah. And then I still didn't picture him when we was in service with him. But anyway, I don't even know his name. But anyway, he got talking, and he come on, we went on outside the garage, and he came over and he said, let me show you what I bought today. He said, there's a tool man come by, and he showed me a picture of the Lord's Supper, and it had a broke glass in it. And then we got on, we talked about it a little bit, and got talking about Travis, and I think that's when it came out. I said, how'd you know Travis? He said, oh, I used to ride motorcycles with Travis. And you know what I'm talking about? Do you? The part Kevin Dalton's place, or below him. I don't know if he owns it all or whatever. I'm telling it all, ain't I? That's all. Amen. Big boy. He's a big boy. Got a goatee. And my hat. Amen. I said, yeah, there you go. And he said, yeah, he's doing it. But anyway, your name come back up. And, you know, there's people that know Travis. Now, he used to ride motorcycles, Travis. And I guarantee you, that old motorcycle riding Travis probably wasn't the Travis he's seen now. And it made a difference. I'm getting all off of what I've preached on. That's all right, though, ain't it? I'm a chasing rabbit right now, okay? But anyway, isn't it good, though? And, you know, he didn't have nothing bad to say. I think he's tickled. He said, yeah, I heard he's doing good or something like that. I told him how excited he was over the bus ministry, and I think he already knew that. Have you talked to him lately? Oh, glory. See there? Praise the Lord. So you know what's happening in your life. Does he go to redeem, or did I get that wrong? Okay, he was down. Okay, see there? When I preached down there, I guess. All right. How many's got it? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. Listen, there's people that look, they know Kelly. There's people at Nebo School knows Kelly Manasso comes up here. Amen. Knows she's a teacher there. Knows she's a member here. Man, let me tell you something. Same way out there at that youth center. I'm a youth center. Yeah. Out there, amen. Out there at the senior center. Hallelujah. Come on. It's good to be called young. Praise the Lord. Who was telling me that they were going out there? Somebody was telling me somebody were going out there lately that I had not seen in a while. But anyway, I can't remember who it was. You would know them. But anyway, I'm about to get all messed up tonight. God's got a deal. Satan's got a deal. I'm glad I chose the right deal. And let me tell you something. Everything looks good ain't good. Everything sounds good ain't good. That don't mean it's good. All God's people say it. I want us to stand our feet on every head bow. That's the thought that God's given me tonight. I feel like I've made a mess of it, but I've done what the Lord's told me to do. Tonight, nobody looking around, just me and the Lord. I want to remind us that every day we make choices. We're choosing to serve either Satan or we're choosing to serve God. And I hope this little illustration, amen, listen to me. Don't get so wrapped up, amen, in things that are convenient. Things that are, sometimes these convenient things become too convenient. And the enemy knows that. Why do you think it's such a hard competing for our young people, not just competing for our young people, but Jason, there's a lot of things out there that the devil's got that's competing, amen, for the younger generation and even the older generation. We've got to make sure that our priorities stay right, amen, to keep looking to the reward that God's prepared, amen, for His children. Together we can, amen, help each other. Keep, hey, I want you to help me. I need Rex Real, I need Keith Turner, I need all these men to help me keep my priorities right. If you see me out of line, amen, correct me in the name of Jesus, amen. Take me to the Word of God. But that's the message that God has laid upon my heart. If you need to choose the right, maybe there's a choice, there's a decision in your life or in your heart. That maybe it ain't salvation. Maybe you've already made that choice, but maybe God has showed you something, and maybe there's things been placed and temptations been placed in front of you, and you need strength to overcome those things. This altar's open.